Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues in your life. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. You know, we all have issues in life and many times don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. If it's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The theme for the month has been freedom. We've talked about the fact that we've been set free from sin and death. That's what the gospel message does. But it also sets us free to really know Jesus Christ, to grow in our relationship with him. And also it frees us to work out this salvation that he's pouring into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Paul put it this way, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. When you were lost and dead in sin and under the law, you didn't have freedom to work out a salvation. You didn't have salvation.
Yeah.
But now that you have been saved, God is working a salvation in and through you, and you have the freedom to work it out. And boy, guys, that's one of the things that we really miss about this gospel message, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you look at this verse and a lot of people, you know, there's controversy around it. They wonder, you know, is this working for your salvation? Does this mean we should be scared of God or something like that? And, you know, you notice that it says work out, not work for. So basically, we're working out what God has already worked in. And I love that. He's saying the God of the universe lives in you. So with, you know, awe and reverence and going, wow, this is pretty serious stuff. When God cleans house and moves into your life and you get to work out in daily practice what he's working in, that's what this is about. It has nothing to do with working for anything.
And we're free to do that. I mean, that's the whole point of this particular passage, is that we're free to allow Christ to do his work in us, and we're free to live it out. And that's ultimate freedom. And when we do that, I think we experience what God has created us to be in its fullest sense and in its fullest measure. So if you want to really be human, then this verse really applies to you. If you want to live out your highest calling and fulfill your greatest purpose, this is the verse for you. And you're free to do that in Christ Jesus. Christ is living in you. He's working in you. He's working this salvation in you. Now, freely work it out. And boy, that's when Christianity gets exciting.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we welcome you again. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, and the time remaining of the clock, well, it's all there, and we want you to come on in. I think, guys, yesterday the broadcast with the two calls that we had kind of underscored the reason that we are very, very glad that we are here live to address the needs of our listeners, because so many times people are going through struggles, and God's kids are just kind of getting beaten up in life. And so we're here, and that's the reason we're here live, so that you can come in and pose your question. Let's talk about what you want to talk about today on Basic Gospel. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, I had a question from Rick, who lives in Simpsonville, Kentucky, and a very, very simple question. Can we move the hand of God by praying?
Hmm. Boy, yeah, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what does prayer do? Do we really move the hand of God, or does God move our hands through prayer?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I think it's a tough one. I don't know that we want to put all of our prayer in a box and say, you know, God always moves or God never moves. You got a couple of times in the Bible there where God seems to even change his mind in dialogue with other people. I guess, you know, what I object to is this popular idea today that if we pray long enough and we pray hard enough, we pray often enough, then we're definitely going to convince God and get him to move or something. And I think that most of prayer, if not all of it, is really just coming in line with, you know, attitudes that God wants us to have. We're setting the mind. We're agreeing with God about stuff. We are, you know, giving thanks to him in all things. And we're, yeah, we can make our requests known to him, the Bible says, but that doesn't mean that it's like some slot machine where you put in enough prayers and pull down the handle and out come the answers that we want. So, you know, it's tricky. People talk about praying in Jesus' name and, you know, whatever you pray in my name will come true. Well, yeah, but what does it mean to pray in his name? It means to pray with his heart and pray representing him and what's on his heart and his mind. And so, you know, if we went to Africa and represented our president and said certain things in his name, well, that would be representing the president. So, you know, to me, it needs clarification, because prayer is not like a dance around a campfire where a tribal religious leader might beg God to do something, and with enough dancing and enough fireworks, well, then finally he brings a good crop. A lot of prayer is really just coming in line with the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and reaffirming our identity and asking the Spirit to show truth to us and thanking the Lord.
Yeah, Andrew, one of the examples in the Bible is that of Elijah when he prayed and, you know, the rain was stopped for 3 years and drought came upon the land. And then after that 3 year period, he prayed again and God opened up the floodgate, so to speak, and rain came and everything was refreshed. And we think, wow, what a powerful prayer. But in reality, Elijah was simply praying back to God what God had already given. He had said if the people of Israel continue in their rebellion and their idolatry, that he would dry up the skies. And that's exactly what he did. And Elijah just joined in what God was doing and saying. And I think that's where we miss the boat so often in prayer. We want God to come alongside what we're doing and what we're interested in and what we're concerned about, instead of us coming alongside God and being involved in what he's doing. And I guarantee you what he's doing is much more exciting than anything that we could dream up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think prayer, as I see it, prayer kind of moves us more in a line with what God is all about, what his heart is all about. And I think when we see it in that perspective, prayer really comes to life. And it gets back to that simple truth. God always initiates, we respond. And sometimes with prayer, we reverse that process. I was at the Beulah Baptist Church in Harlem Sunday. And boy, the folks that got up and prayed during that service, I was really touched and moved deeply by their authentic just expression of faith to God. And their prayers were just chock full of truth from the Word of God. And it was such a powerful experience. And I stepped back and I said, that's what prayer's all about. As we hear from God and reading the Word of God and understanding what the Word of God has to say, then our prayers are going to follow suit. Our prayers are going to be in response to that. And when they are, that's when they seem to have full power, where we can really see things happen, so to speak.
Yeah,
it's not because prayer is doing it. It's because we finally aligned our hearts with what God's all about.
Yeah, maybe there's some folks out there who've been praying and praying and something hasn't happened for them. You know, I think what we're saying today is that a lot of times we pray for circumstances to be changed. God, change my geography. God, change my condition physically. God, change my circumstances. And you look at how Paul was praying, and he talked about, you know, being content in all circumstances. And then he was praying things like, show me the riches that I have in Christ. Show me the depths of this gospel. Make it real to me and make it real to the Ephesians, for example. Open the eyes of their heart. Let them see this. And you know, we rarely might pray things like that. Instead, we're praying for a Band-Aid on our circumstances. So I love what we're talking about today. It's so practical that we can use prayer. Prayer is a means to get in touch with the heart of God and what he has for us.
Yes, indeed.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call, friends.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Rentha, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Rentha.
Hi.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Well, calling. It's kind of a basic question. I haven't been feeling well for the last two or three Sundays, and I haven't been to my church, and I haven't had a response from my pastor in terms of what you might say as a leader. And my thought is that it's my fault that I should be aggressive, but as a leader and a shepherd, should he not be concerned with one of his members enough to call and say, how you doing, or what's going on with you?
Well, Rentha, does he know, does somebody within the congregation know that you've been sick the last several weeks? Are there friends and members of that congregation that know you and know your circumstance right now?
Yes, they know that I've been very seldom miss a Sunday. Yeah. I normally go to every Sunday and I've very been active in the church for a long time. But I was just wondering, is there maturity in his leadership, or am I expecting too much?
Well, that's a great question, Rentha. I think you hit the nail on the head. Are you expecting too much? And let's open that up to both Richard and Andrew, and who are pastors, today, and who have been involved in people's lives and when they've missed and that sort of thing. How do we answer a question like that? And it really gets down to the overall functioning of the body of Christ. Yeah. How is that supposed to look and work?
Well, really, according to the Bible, the pastor's job is to equip the members of his part of the body of Christ to be ministers, so that the entire body of Christ cares for each other and is in relationship with each other and brings each other up to encourage each other and to pray and all of the things that go into being part of the body of Christ. So I would follow up with what Bob asked you in the first place. Are you certain that the pastor knows you've been sick? And secondly, if he does, is there a process within your congregation, depending on how large it is, that there are other people who have responsibility for that sort of thing because the pastor can't be everywhere? So I would give him the benefit of the doubt, and the next time you get a chance to talk to him, talk to him. Not in a where were you point of view, but how can we help each other as parts of this body? I found a hole in our process. I was sick and nobody acknowledged that. Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are other people who are sick who haven't been acknowledged. How can we fix that together and turn it to a positive rather than a criticism?
Yeah. The other thing is that, what signaled something to me, a red flag to me, was just your question of, is it my fault? And, you need to know that it's certainly not your fault. Yeah. If someone is so busy and so occupied or so thinking about other things that they don't happen to visit you, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. You're suffering from an illness right now. And you need to remember that, that's not God. Someone who forgets about you, a human who forgets about you, is not God forgetting about you. He never forgets. He's with you. He's in you. He's your comforter and he's your counselor right now. And, we have expectations of humans, but those expectations come shattering down like glass sometimes. People disappoint us all the time. But, the number one thing I think we want you to know is that God is always with you, and he's your comforter and counselor, and he'll never leave you.
And, Rentha, I'll leave on this note. I know there's great comfort when, the pastor comes by and when somebody is sick, and that pastor can talk to you just for a few minutes, can pray for you. There's something healing and comforting about that very act. And if I'm in your shoes, I pick up the phone and I call the pastor and say, Pastor, I just want you to know I've been under the weather for the last several weeks, and I would just really love for you to pray for me. And I think he would be so glad that you picked up the phone and called, and I think he would be so glad to be able to pray for you. So don't be afraid to pick up that phone and to say, hey, can you pray for me? And Rentha, that's what I want to do for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our sister Rentha, who loves you. She's called our program in the past and expressed her faith in Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for that. And you care for her, and at this time in her life, make your presence known to her in such a way that she's comforted, that she knows that she truly belongs to you and that you care for her. And we lift her up to you right now and pray these things in Christ's matchless name. Amen.
So, thank you so much.
So, Rentha, pick up that phone, call your pastor. I think he will be so encouraged, and it'll be a ministry into his life as well, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Rentha. God bless you.
Just one more underscoring of the live aspect of this broadcast so that Rentha could call and get answers to her question. And,
yes, indeed.
And those are hard questions. Those are hard questions, and they're hard questions. And so we appreciate the fact that Rentha was able to call and get the answers she was looking for. Plenty of open lines. This is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley on this edition. We hope you'll join us at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Bob, talk to us a little bit about the financial need of the ministry. I know we have just a couple of days left for the special offer we had for John Lynch's book, The Cure, for a gift of any amount. And, of course, the bottom line is always is support of the ministry.
Yes, indeed. And I think I can explain the financial situation of our ministry with one word, and it's summer. summer is always a low time as far as contributions are concerned. People are on vacation. They're out and about, and sometimes they forget about their monthly support of organizations like ours and even churches. I was talking to a pastor today, and he was saying that they were going through a summer slump, and they were hoping to see a bump in September. That's just the way things are, and so we're certainly suffering like every other ministry out there. And if you can help us at this time, we would certainly appreciate it. A gift of any amount will make a huge difference. You know, I was looking at our overall budget. You know, it's a simple thing. If we just had 800 people giving $150 every single month, our budget is met with some additional to take care of opportunities to expand the outreach. So it doesn't take a lot of people. It just takes enough doing enough to see that this gospel message continues through the Basic Gospel airway. So if you can help us give a gift of any amount, we would greatly appreciate that. And all the information on how to give is online at basicgospel.net.
Or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. That number is 800-727-2828. The other number that you need right now is the online number at 800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to talk about, well, we'd like to discuss it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Question from Susan, who writes to us from Sacramento, and she says she's a new listener to the program and that she loves it. She says, I heard you suggest to a caller to read the Ephesians 3:17 prayer morning and night, which I started yesterday, she said. It's extremely difficult, however, for me to believe that God loves me. She says, I'm 61. When I was 10, my parents divorced, and when I was 17, my mother committed suicide. Several weeks after my mother's death, I asked the Lord into my life. I turned my back on the Lord shortly after being saved because I was so angry for my mother's death. I've made so many bad choices, and the consequences are so painful. I've asked for forgiveness, but how and when can I forgive myself?
Boy, what a heart-wrenching situation that is. And my heart certainly goes out to her. Something that happened when she was a teenager, and she's carrying the marks of that today, and actually allowing that event in the past to define who she is. And here's the deal: so often with children in divorce situations, they conclude that it's their fault, that the reason the parents divorced was something that they did. And they carry that forward. And in carrying it forward, they come to this conclusion that they're unlovable, that they're unworthy. And so all of the Bible passages don't mean anything to them. It means something for other people, but not to me, because I've crossed the line. I am over on this side of being unlovable. But that's never true for anybody, is it?
Yeah, you know, Bob, it is such a shame game. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with God. He's awesome. God is gracious. God is good. There's nothing wrong with the gospel message. It works for other people. this is what we might think, but then me, I'm the exception. I'm different because my past is too tainted, or I've gone through too much that's shown me I'm not worth anything. And we get into a shame that sometimes is hard to break free from. But I think, you know, you're really hitting the nail on the head here that many, many people have no problem believing that God is forgiving, that God is gracious, and that the gospel is true, but it just doesn't work for me because my situation is different. And that's a lie from the enemy. God will never turn his back on us. God never makes us into an exception. And, you know, you look at just the resume of people in the Bible that walked with God. Talk about tainted past. I mean, many of them were murderers, you know, David, Paul, you know, Moses. A lot of them killed people and regretted it later. There were people that committed adultery. There were all kinds of things going on in their past. And yet God forgave them, walked with them. And now in light of the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, what should we conclude? We need to forgive ourselves, because forgiving ourselves is just agreeing with God. I don't want to have a bigger standard than God. I don't want to disagree with God.
Yeah, I love what C.S. Lewis said. If God's forgiven us, we ought to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that is so true. And we have some information on how a person can do that, some steps that they can take, and we're certainly going to send these resources out to this lady,
Susan,
and help Susan along this path. And there might be others out there who are struggling with forgiveness, struggling with letting go of the past. Just email us, bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. And we will send you some resources as well. This is such an important issue. And if you're struggling with it, we want to help you let go so you can be set free to experience and know the love of God in its full measure. So bob@basicgospel.net, write to us and let us know your situation, and we want to help. Well, let's quickly go to Brooklyn and talk with Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, how you doing, guys? God bless.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
Yes, I've been, just like Susan, I've been in that dark place. It was hard for me to forgive myself, but the Lord helped me through everything. And what I'm struggling with now is the Ten Commandments. It says to never forget to keep the Sabbath day holy. My question is, why does the church worship on Sundays?
Well, Joshua, quickly, and we just have a couple of minutes here. You know, the law, as the writer of Hebrews described it in Hebrews 10, was merely a shadow. It wasn't the real thing. It was pointing us forward to the real thing. And the real Sabbath is experienced through faith in Jesus Christ. When we rest in his finished work on the cross, we enter into that Sabbath rest. And that's not just for one day a week. That's for every day of the week. We can experience the Sabbath rest every single day of the week. And that's an eternal thing. Now, most churches worship on Sunday today in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Sabbath, as far as Jewish law was concerned, it's still Saturday. But that was just a shadow of the true Sabbath that we can experience through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have some great information on that, Joshua. Let me put you on hold. We'll send it your way. Thanks for your call, my friend.
And we're out of time for this edition, just about. Tomorrow, of course, the final day of this month's special offer of John Lynch's book called The Cure. If you're looking for authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, longing to experience true, genuine freedom, and if you're ready to take off the religious masks and step fully into who you are as a child of God, well, The Cure may contain your answer. Written by John and his team, it's True Faced Ministries, and you can get your copy for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, July. And so tomorrow being the last day, you got to hurry. So go to basicgospel.net. You'll find the prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, for this edition of Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.